So happy to have with us right now the running backs coach for the Browns, Gary Brown. How you doing?
Great. Doing good.
All right. Well, let's start with, and you got to be doing great, after a performance like Trent Richardson had in that game against Cincinnati. And I know we really shouldn't be surprised. This is what the third overall pick of the draft is kind of supposed to do, and all that great Alabama film that we saw it. But, you know, to see it transpire, I mean, did you have any inkling after such a quiet first performance against Cincinnati in the opener that he could come back that strong in 1 week?
I think, you know, we all knew that he could. He just needed an opportunity to get some lanes, and I think the offensive line did a great job. But, you know, that's what we expect from him. We expect those types of plays, those types of explosive plays, and I think he expects that from himself, and that's the great part. He puts more pressure on himself than anybody, and for him to do that and go out and want to perform at a high level is great.
Gary, much was made of, with him coming back from that knee, arthroscopic knee surgery that caused him to miss the preseason, that his conditioning, you know, would take some time, understandably,
right. Football right. Condition.
And so the natural conclusion after that Philadelphia game, or during that Philadelphia game, was that he was pretty far off the mark. I mean, how did you work it maybe with him in the course of the week to get him back there? What's the process of a guy making up that ground, if in fact that was an issue against Philly?
Well, I think what we did was he and I came together, and what the backs do is we try to finish everything we do as far as finishing down the field, finishing past the last DB, finishing plays. So I think with that type of mindset in our group, that helped him get back in shape. I don't think he was in bad shape in Philly. I think Philly did a good job, so you have to give them credit. But I think what happened was that Trent took it as, hey, I got to get better. He took it upon himself and did some extra stuff, and it paid off.
And what were some of the things? It was just aerobic conditioning?
Just aerobics. I mean, just going running. Out running and banging into people and getting used to playing football again. So he took that among himself. The backs took it among themselves to help him, and it was great.
And the other thing we heard from Coach Shurmur was there's really no holding this guy back. I mean, he was determined to get out there, and there wasn't really going to be a pitch count on his running because he wouldn't allow it. So that's something you have to help manage too.
Absolutely. You got to make sure that when he's going out there and with his mindset of being he wants to play every snap, you have to try to make him understand that you can't play every snap if you want to last 16 games.
Sure.
So we have to make sure that he understands that, and I think he does. He's a mature kid for his age. He understands that in the grand scheme of things, for him to be to perform at a top level for 16 games, he's going to need the rest of the guys in the room to help him. And we realize that as a room, and we embrace that.
And it all works in concert. It's not just one guy running the football. The blocking has to be there.
Right.
I mean, the play call has to be right for the situation and catching the defense. All those things seem to come together, obviously, better for Cincinnati, right? All those elements work better against the Bengals.
Absolutely. I think the O-line did a great job. Obviously, when you get runs of 32 yards, then the receivers are involved. So those guys did a great job. The receivers, the O-line, everybody trying to get him into some space where he could do some work did a great job doing that. And I think now that we've had some success doing that, those guys will be more willing to go out and block even that half a second longer because they never know where T. Rich is going to end up.
Sure.
So, you know, it's a good thing.
Gary Brown, running backs coach for the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You knew what this guy was all about probably from the second you first saw him, either on television and certainly in the film that you watched prior to the draft and really studying him, knowing he was targeted to be the Browns' top pick.
Mm-hmm.
But what told you that you could see the types of plays that we saw, especially in this game against the Bengals? And what I'm driving at is, in terms of his running style and ability, to see it at the collegiate level is one thing. What told you it could work in the NFL?
Well, I think what impressed me the most while I was watching him was that he was doing against the top competition that college had to offer, and he was doing it, and it seemed easy for him. So, you know, you go against LSU that has basically a pro defense,
right,
and you go out and you have 90-some yards against them in a national championship game on a grandest scale in college football, you know that kid is ready to go for prime time. What makes you really realize he's ready is when you sit down and you talk to him man-to-man and you realize where his mindset is and where his maturity level is and where he wants to go in his career. Those are the types of things that are going to push him to where he needs to be, and those are the types of things that we look at as coaches off the field that you try to project and see how he's going to handle on-the-field success. So ever since I've seen him as a freshman against Texas when he broke a long run on the inside zone, I knew this kid was special. when you get to know the guy, now it's even more, you realize it. Whatever inside of him is going to make him a great player.
Can you expand on that? I mean, what are some of the things that jump out at you when you do talk with him, when you say you hear his sense of what he wants to be and where he wants to go? What are the types of things he says to you that impress you there?
Well, the thing that he looks, he's a true leader because he looks at himself first and how he can get better. He never points a finger. He never says, well, this guy should have did this, this guy should have did that. He always looks at himself and says, I could have done that better. Even though the blocking may have not been correct, he'll put it on himself. So he's a true leader in that sense. He's driven to be the best, obviously, being Emmitt Smith, being from his hometown, the same high school. He has a tremendous mentor and a tremendous person he can chase as sure. far as this position goes. So, you know, and being that he's a mature guy, he has two lovely children, a great family, he knows where the important things are. So you know exactly what he's going to be doing when he's off the field. He's going to be home with his family, doing what he needs to do, studying that book, and those are the types of things that are going to make him a great player.
Again, I know it's very, very early in this process. We're going to hopefully see a lot more of this, but let's focus on those two very memorable plays. The 32-yard touchdown run, what happened on that that just was – I know, again, the scheming and the blocking, but once he got into gear and in the field, what are the things that he relied on that made that work?
Well, I think what happened was that the O-line did a great job getting him to the second level as a draw play. They got him to the second level, and after that, and then his natural ability takes over, his vision, for him to be able to make that cut out to the right. Greg Little, Travis Benjamin, they had great blocks from the outside. And then when he hit the corner and burst, you know, it's going to be hard to catch him once he gets ahead of you. So I think all those things, his burst, his balance, his vision, all counted for that particular play. As far as the second play with the catch,
yeah,
I mean, that was just making about five guys miss. Some of the types of things you can't explain. Those are just things that God had blessed him with. You can't coach that, and you're just glad that he's on your team.
So. All right, so you weren't the only one who, like me, your jaw was kind of dropping too, because I've watched a lot of football, Gary. I've watched a lot of great running backs, and to see that, I mean, that play, as impressive as the run was, the 32-yarder, that was the one, the run after catch, that just made me shake my head, and I still couldn't believe. I had to see it over and over again. How about you?
Yeah, I still love watching it. It's a situation where nobody was blocked. I mean, he made everybody miss, and it was just a situation where – you know, he made Leon Hall miss, then he made Malaya Luga miss in the safety, and then the one corner tried to come and rip the ball out, and he wasn't having that. So it was just a tremendous effort on his part, and hopefully we get to see a lot more of that.
Yeah, because you saw a little bit of everything. You saw the explosiveness, the elusiveness, the power. I mean, he pretty much the whole package.
It was all condensed in one play, one little pass play.
One little pass play. And that, and there's the other thing. His skill set – so gives you these options, right? I mean, you can – obviously, we know that first and foremost he's a running back and the bulk of his work's going to come there. But that passing option is always there for you as well. How is he incorporated in that? I mean, that was a check down by Brandon Whedon, but can he can be straight up utilized as someone that you design pass plays around?
Absolutely. He can do all those things. He can run every route that's in the route tree for the running backs. I think he's going to be – a vital part of that when we want to try to get the ball. If Brandon doesn't see what he likes downfield, you know, he always has Trent or he has Obi or he has Monterey, whoever, Brandon. He always has those guys that he can go check the ball down to. I think it's important in our room that we take pride in our pass routes because we want to be more than just a running back.
Sure.
We want to be the complete package. We want to be what the coach can depend on, what Coach Shimmer can depend on as far as going out there, being where we're supposed to be in a pass route, picking up the protections. Doing everything that's necessary for us to win.
There's still a lot for him to learn, right? I mean, he's still, as impressive as that was, there's more that he's picking up. On the learning curve, though, how far along is he, you think?
He's getting there. He's getting there. I think that, you know, he had great training at Alabama in a pro system, in a pro-style coach with Coach Saban. So he's ahead of the curve in that regard. Is he where he needs to be? No. Is he going in the right direction? Absolutely. And it's going to be a great, great thing when he finally gets to where he needs to be, where everything is just instinctive and he's not even thinking, he's just playing. Right now, he's probably thinking a little bit.
Sure.
And you see still what he's doing now, and he's not completely comfortable. So when he gets completely comfortable, it's going to be a special thing for the city of Cleveland.
That's a scary thought, but a good one. And Chris Obanaya also had a solid game. He was someone that you wanted to utilize, obviously, as a receiver, and he did well in blitz pickup.
Chris is always going to be that consummate pro. He's going to know exactly what to do, and he's going to do it at a high level. He's going to pick up protections. He's going to be where he needs to be in the passing game, and he's reliable. That's the greatest thing about Chris. He's never going to be that type of guy that you have to worry about what he's doing on the field. He's going to be where he needs to be. He's a true leader in the running back room, along with Montario and Brandon. Chris brings that maturity level because he's the oldest guy in the room, and he's only been in the league four years or whatever. So yeah. He's a senior guy member. Between him and Brandon, the two senior members, they provide great leadership, great guidance, and I'm just glad to have those guys in the room.
Next opponent is the Buffalo Bills. Strong defensive team, a strong pass rush team. I mean, they're adding Mario Williams, adding Mark Anderson in the offseason, and Kyle Williams is there in the middle. So they're very aggressive. How does that affect things from a running game standpoint? Is it a good thing to kind of have that aggressiveness that maybe it gives you some options, or the running backs just have to be on their toes? Can they help out in that protection?
Well, what we have to do as a running back group is we have to make sure that we're on point with our protections to make sure that if we're needed in some type of regard as far as helping out, we're there. If we need to be, we need to be in a pass route, we need to be there. And as far as running the ball, we just have to make sure we're downhill. They're a very good group up front. They have some big guys. Two, the three technique and the shade are very, very good players. And obviously the two big outside, the two guys outside. Mm. So we got to make sure that we're doing what we need to do as far as being on point with our run reads and things of that nature, making sure that we're doing what we need to do if we're asked to help out in the protection game as far as the D-line. And when they do pressure, we need to block it up and give Brandon some time to make some plays. I really believe if we do that, I think that Brandon will have another solid performance. He'll get the ball to Mo and Greg and all those guys, and we'll be happy.
Yeah, you mentioned that. Besides Kyle Williams, Marcel Darius, the other guy, the other big guy in the middle. Great stuff, Coach. We really appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
He is Gary Brown, the running backs coach for the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.